Hello, and welcome to Awakening Into Life, an ongoing podcast series that covers the topics of non-duality, self-realization, and the embodiment of awakening. My name is Bradley, and I am a teacher of non-dual wisdom with a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. And I have devoted my life and my work to helping those who are walking the pathless path, which might include great difficulty and confusion at several stages of the journey. Now, this is the fourth episode in the Awakening Into Life podcast series, and it's the third part of a four-part talk on the promise, process, and pitfalls of obtaining spiritual enlightenment. This particular talk took place just 1 year after my own initial opening or awakening experience. It was the very first public talk that I ever gave, and it occurred in November of 2015. I was speaking at a New Age, New Thought community, and the talk itself really serves as a good introduction to the kinds of things that I have continued to expound upon all these years. This part of the talk is really devoted to the question and answer period that followed. And there are a few different ways that we tackle this subject in the conversation, and I am asked some questions about my own journey as well. But really, this is the wrap-up segment of the talk as it was given at the time. Now, the fourth part of this series, the next part of this particular series, is actually sort of an update on what I would say differently 6 years later. So, without further ado, please sit back, relax, and enjoy part three of the promise, process, and pitfalls of obtaining spiritual enlightenment. So, questions or thoughts or ideas or anything that anyone wants to share? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have to say, I mean, really, I've heard a lot in my ears. Thank you. Really, truly. But what I do want to know is that I miss the enlightenment story. Did I miss what happened that brought you to this? And if I did, you don't have to repeat it.
No,
there are no mistakes.
No, there are no mistakes, exactly. No, you know, one of those things, I generally tend to be very conscientious about my journey is my journey, your journey is your journey, and I'm here to talk to you about your journey, not about mine. But I will take a couple of quick minutes to just kind of fill in. So I was somebody who lived in a lot of darkness. I was somebody who was very, very selfish. Very selfish. And I hated everyone, and I lived in shame and guilt, and I lived in this very, very dark place. And no one saw it. No one understood what was going on with me. I was depressed all the time. And last year, it was probably maybe August or so, August, September time frame, I started to say to myself, wow, you know, my life is really shitty. And you know who's at the center of it all? Me. I wonder what the common denominator here is. And I decided at that moment to be completely honest with myself. And I started to dig. My journey, my goal at the time was to find a more authentic me. What better spiritual question can you ask yourself than how can I find a more authentic me? Because when you're aiming for that target and you're peeling away all of the layers of who it is you think you are to find that authentic me, guess what you find? There is no authentic you. Or rather, there is.
but it is so far beyond what we think we are. So I had this awakened experience. Blew my mind. I remember I was talking to a Buddhist teacher at the time. I had been talking to her for 2 whole weeks because I was guided in that direction. And I only worked with her for a couple of days after that. I remember calling her on the phone, terrified. I'm like, there's someone inside of me. I don't understand what happened. There's someone inside of me. And she's like, that's all right, it's fine. I didn't know at the time. That was the ego consciousness touching that moment of direct contact for the very first time. And it felt like two beings wrestling within myself. It was terrifying, terrifying. For someone who was an atheist. But somehow I created that opening, right? And in that opening, I was able to experience myself for the very first time. And so I went from that to deepening and deepening and deepening. I moved out of my house with my girlfriend, and I went and got my own place, and I was going through all of this very beautiful synchronicity. Music was talking to me in such beautiful ways, and it would be interesting. I'd spend my mornings listening to music, and all of these songs would be playing in ways that were undeniably stories, messages, ways of communicating to me things that I needed to understand. And then I would walk out onto the street, and someone would step in. Oh, I'd walk one block, and somebody would come up to me and say, and throw something at me that my whole morning was about. Then I would sit on the street and spend time with the homeless. And I would talk to different people. And eventually, I decided to sell all of my possessions and become homeless myself. And I sat there with my little sign, freely sharing the secrets of enlightenment. And I spent all kinds of time talking to people about all this stuff. And they're like, wow, man, this is really great. This is really awesome. And I thought I was doing good work. I was like, man, look at how enlightened I am. It's amazing how the journey unfolds because we go, oh, now I'm enlightened. Oh, now I'm enlightened. Oh, now I'm enlightened. Each time we deepen, we think we've gotten somewhere. That's the trap. Mm-hmm. Until enlightenment itself fades from view. So the whole time I thought I was the teacher. The whole time I was the student. And then when I got to a place where I realized I couldn't help anyone that did not want to help themselves, that all I could do was create spaciousness within my own being for others to explore their truths, I decided it was time to leave the street. And I moved here. And since I've been here, I've been confronted with all kinds of beautiful opportunities to deepen. And what's so interesting is, having just stepped through the deepest realizations of the perfection of all things as they are, that experiential realization of, no, it really is all perfect. It really is. It's not a story. It really is everything. The terrible beauty of it all. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because our suffering is the crack the light shines through. And in order to experience the light, we have to understand the darkness. And that's perfect. It's the way it's supposed to be. And so now, here I find myself today. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. An opportunity to share exactly as it's meant to be. And you're all here exactly as you're supposed to be. And this is wonderful because it's just us. It's a great one I like to talk about. You know, we get into this thing, what's justice? Justice! It's just us. Why are you screaming for justice when it's just us? So that's kind of sort of my story. I mean, it continues to deepen and deepen and deepen. And my life is about sharing these things now. That's what my life is about. I have a job because, you know, I gotta eat. But, you know, there is a point in time, I have a book and websites and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sharing these things in many different ways, and I intend to continue to do so because this is the nature of my journey. I have since realized that I've been prepared for this my whole life. I just didn't realize it. But now I can look back on things as what they really were. And I know this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. What's the evidence of that? I'm here doing it. It's all I need. Can't be any other way. So that's my story. Okay. I'm sticking to it. we can keep talking for a couple more minutes. I want to do a meditation before we end, but I want to give other folks an opportunity to, you know, like I said, ask questions or share. Or...
I'll share something that happened to me this weekend. Somebody came up to me and said, I've seen you three times during this weekend. And I said to them, because I've been talking to you a while, I said, it's as it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. And she's like, look, you know, just, it was stunning because I didn't, you know, I really hadn't connected that way, but the synchronicity was there. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. There are no accidents.
No accidents. I said that more than once later this weekend.
We just don't always understand what it is that it's about. But there is a point where, if we're paying enough attention, we can see what it's about. We can see what it's about. It may not be clear up front. It may take us some time. You know, it's this little mini story, right? It starts here and it ends here, but we don't always know where it's going. That's why we follow it. We just participate in the process. We stop telling ourselves stories about it, and we just participate. We just show up. I got to a point where I started to say, my job is just to show up and give a shit. That's my job. That's all I'm supposed to do.
Sad's not the right word. I don't want to think about a time that would come when I wouldn't be really like, whoa, that was so cool, when synchronicity happens. And it sounds like the further along you get in this, that you no longer need it to show you something, but that magic, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I it makes me go, oh, so the better off we get, the less that's going to happen. I like that.
No, not necessarily. It's just, it doesn't explode as much. It doesn't explode as much. And we still get all the things that we're supposed to. I mean, we're still, just yesterday I was having a moment telling myself a story, driving in my car, and then there was a song that played on the radio, and a lady pulled in front of me with two hearts on in the back of her car, and then a truck drove by with a big sign that says, need a pick-me-up, right? You know, so I mean, these things, they still happen. They still happen. Again, this is the nature of my life. These things, they still happen. They happen when you need them to. God does not give us what we want. God gives us what we need. When the two are in alignment, we have an experience of this thing we call manifesting or bringing things in. Or when the two are in alignment, that's great. But they're not always in alignment. The journey is one of acceptance, learning to accept things as they are. To love yourself enough to know when that's okay and when it's not. But the journey is one of acceptance. Because if it's all perfect, and you have an opinion that it's not, it's just you thinking. It takes a long time. Not a long time. See, that's the thing, right? I've been on this road for a year. It's not a race. It's not, you know, there is no like, well, you know, I have a meetup group, and the meetup group gets together and they remind me all the time, they're like, you're so lucky you got these at such a young age. I'm like, you know, we all get to where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. And I know now that this is simply grace. That's all it is. It is grace. I am grace wearing this body. That's it. I didn't earn any of this, didn't deserve any of this, didn't want any of this. It found me. And that's the way it was supposed to be, and I know that now. When I first had my awakening, it was like, oh my goodness, what did I stumble into? We all get here when we're supposed to.
But I'm also beginning to recognize the magnificence of what I thought was the horror of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not, oh, you're so lucky. It was all wonderful.
That's right. All of it led to this moment. It's wonderful when we can invite that in. It's very freeing when we can invite that in. That's what it is to live without the shame, the guilt, the doubt, the uncertainty, all of that. To just be able to look back at our entire life and go, it was all perfect. It was all beautiful. Doesn't matter how many times I got knocked on my ass. Here I am. And there is no me. Ooh, anyway. We continue to suffer for as long as we think we're someone suffering. That's the bottom line. Right? As long as you still think you're someone, you're going to suffer. And then you'll still suffer because you're still going to tell yourself stories. You just keep bringing yourself back. You hold the story. You hold the suffering. You hold it tenderly and you go, look, now, now this, now this, now this, now this. Mindfulness, now this, now this, now this.
And I think it's also the ability to love that one that suffers.
Yes, absolutely, to reach into that place and hug it.
Because I think I'm such a good sufferer.
Right, exactly. And that becomes its own wonderful story.
Yeah.
Look at how good I am at suffering.
I remember going to an Al-Anon meeting one time, and this guy came in with a journal and talked about this horrible week he had and all these, but he'd been journaling it all, written it down in journaling, and, you know, this made me feel terrible, and this made me feel sad, and this made me, you know, just all these terrible emotions. And the thing that came out of my mouth was, I'm so glad you're feeling better! Because he was actually feeling as opposed to, you know, just being disconnected from that part of the wonder of the cosmic movement,
mm-hmm.
the song.
Yeah.
And I was like, connected with the yay!
So I'll bring up one more thing and then we'll do a little meditation. You are surrounded by a field of now. Your field of now extends as far as the eye can see, the ear can hear, and it includes everything you can taste, touch, and smell. Within your field of now, it is always now. It is never not now. Within this field of now, things arise. And when they arise, we accept them. In this field of now, things fall away, and when they fall away, we let them go. Within our field of now, if something occurs that brings us suffering, we ask ourselves, who is the one that suffers? We carry this field with us everywhere we go. And we're always sharing it with each other. It is the eternal moment. Time is part of the illusion. Separation is part of the illusion. In the now, it's always just this. It's always now, and it's always just this. Practice that, right? That's what mindfulness is all about. So let's do a quick meditation. I often tell people, if you want to practice meditation as something you do sitting on a cushion, and that's your concept of meditation, you're going to be really good at sitting on a cushion. You're going to be really good at sitting on a cushion. You might develop some really deep insights that way. But meditation is one aspect of learning to live life more fully. One way in which we learn to live life more fully. You have to be able to practice meditation in a way that you can carry your meditation out into the world with you. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. So we find whatever position makes us comfortable. Close our eyes. Breathe in through the nose and out through the nose, just at a regular pace. You don't have to force it, you don't have to do anything with it. Just in through the nose and out through the nose at a natural rhythm. When you're breathing in, feel the flow of air as it comes through the nostrils. Is it a warm breath? Is it a cold breath? Is there a smell? Does the air tickle the nostril hairs as it comes in? Breathing out, what is that sensation? Not labeling it, being present with the experience of it, breathing in. All the parts of breathing in through the nose and all of the parts of breathing out through the nose. Just be present. If the mind begins to wander, treat it with wondrous loving kindness, like a puppy dog that you're trying to potty train. We often put out newspapers, at least we used to, I guess, you know, put out newspapers. And if we saw the puppy dog wander off and lift its leg or whatever, we grab the puppy dog and bring him back with loving kindness and put him back on the paper. Now you stay there. The puppy dog would wander off again, you would just simply go and pick it up with loving kindness and bring it back. You do that with your mind. If you find your mind wandering, just pick it up with gentle loving kindness and bring it back to the sensation of the breath. The experience. We are using the breath as gravity to ground ourselves in the experience of being. Now let's shift a little bit. Let's move our awareness to the belly. Feel the rising and the falling of the belly with each in-breath and each out, with each out-breath. Just the experience of it, not laboring. Bring your awareness to the lungs as they expand and contract. Now try breathing in a way that encompasses the entire movement. Air coming in through the nose, filling the lungs, filling the belly, and then back out again. Notice that the whole movement is a harmony. Start paying attention to how everything outside of yourself is a part of that harmony. If there's a wind blowing, or if there's a noise that occurs, whatever it is when you're meditating in this way, you draw it into your experience as part of your now, and you experience it without labeling it. The breath is what brings us back to ourselves. But what is within us and what is outside of us is all part of the same harmony. The breath is just one way of reminding ourselves of that. To practice concentration at the tip of the nose or at the belly is a wonderful practice, a wonderful practice of meditation. Now let's shift our awareness to the heart. Let us breathe into the tightness that most of us have at the center of our being. Let's use the breath to open that space. Every answer to every question that you have ever had or ever will have can be answered in this place. When you can breathe into the heart, when you have cleared the mind and opened the heart, you are reaching into the collective wisdom of all beings that have ever been. All beings that are now, and all beings that ever will be. you are becoming one with your own soul, with your own spirit, with your own beingness, with your own divinity, with your own presence. It is that which binds you to the oneness of all things and reminds you that you are a part of that oneness and that there is no separation or division anywhere. There is only love and you are it. And the heart, breathing into the heart. Imagine for a moment that you're standing on the street and someone comes up and starts yelling at you and you can just dwell in this heart breath. Imagine you're having a difficult conversation with a loved one who's still trapped in their story, and you can just be in this heart breath. This is a meditation you can take with you everywhere you go. Breathing into the heart whenever you find yourself lost, whatever that lostness may look like. Practice letting go of what's in the mind and just be in the heart. That's what the whole hearing is about. And that's it. That's it. It's just this. Thank you.
Thank you all for taking the time to listen to this episode in my podcast series on non-duality, self-realization, and embodied awakening. I hope it was helpful in some small way, and I invite you to continue listening for the next part in this four-part series on the promise, process, and pitfalls of obtaining spiritual enlightenment. And if you liked what you heard here, please feel free to visit the website at awakeningintolife.com. There you will find additional information on my own history and background, on the services that I provide, and additional information about this process of awakening. Thank you, everyone. Take care and be well.